America's favorite Mexican, Bill Martinez, live.
You can't take that from me.
Live.
Back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, our conversation with Dr. Susan Chomsky continues. We're talking Beatles and Beatles memorabilia. As we were wrapping up the first segment, Susan, you were talking about the apology of George Harrison to the Maharishi over drugs. You know, it wasn't that George Harrison abused the sitar in any way. In fact, that was one of the positives that he brought out of it, and typical of the Beatles, anytime they could get their hands on a particular sound or instrument, they found a way to incorporate it in their music, did they not?
That's very true. Actually, George started learning sitar before he had ever met Maharishi. He was studying with Ravi Shankar. And he did study that for a couple of years, but then he gave it up because he knew it was just too hard to learn and he could never master it. And he wanted to be a master, and it just wasn't going to ever happen. So he did give it up. He only studied it for 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm. But, of course, it's evident in several of the songs, and, you know,
absolutely,
he mastered it enough, and, you know, to where it definitely came through. Well, with the upcoming reissue of the 50th anniversary of the White Album, Susan, what was preeminent for you about that White Album?
Well, it was a very interesting album simply because it was written when they were in Rishikesh, India, with Maharishi in 1968. And so it was greatly influenced by Maharishi. And many of the songs, you know, especially when the album first came out, people had no clue what those songs were about. They were about specific people that the Beatles had met in India and about their experiences in India. Quite a number of the songs are about that.
Well, like Sexy Sadie. Who was Sexy Sadie about?
Well, it wasn't about anyone named Sadie, and it wasn't about a woman. It was actually written when, at the time that they were leaving India and they were waiting for the taxis to arrive, John wrote this song very angry. He was really pissed off and angry at Maharishi at the time, and he wrote that song to take out vengeance on Maharishi. And so originally the lyrics were filled with expletives that I cannot say over the air, but
thank
it was
you.
Maharishi, what have you done? You made a fool of everyone. Maharishi, you broke the rules. You laid it down for all to see, and so on. But then after he had written the song and there were a lot of expletives, as I said, George Harrison said to John, you can't say that. That's ridiculous. So he changed the lyrics. John changed the lyrics, and it became Sexy Sadie as the seductress rather than Maharishi.
Maharishi. What was it about conclusion of their relationship or upon his departure that he was so disappointed with Maharishi about?
Well, he was very disillusioned about the film deal that had gone south, where he believed that Maharishi was making deals behind his back. It's a long story, but it was it was a very devastating for them. They believed that he was using them for publicity. And then he got extremely disillusioned, which is rather ironic, since he had been cheating on his wife for years.
Right.
But you know, he found out that Maharishi had made a pass at one of the women in the ashram. And so, horror of horrors, you know, that he would actually be a sexual being when he claimed to be a celibate monk. But, you know, which is completely ironic because John was on his way back from India, for example, on the plane on the way back from India, he got into a drunken stupor and confessed all of his infidelities to Cynthia. And she was so shocked and amazed that he had cheated on her, that he had ever cheated on her. And, of course, it was completely devastating for her. And then right after they got back to London and they got back to home, you know, she found Yoko when she had gone away for vacation. She came back and found Yoko in her bathrobe sitting in the house with John. You know, I mean,
Wow.
Whatever.
What a pleasant plane ride that must have been. What about Dear Prudence?
God.
Well, you know, hey, look, we're talking John Lennon and the Beatles. I mean,
we're
you know, it's like
John Lennon.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, Dear Prudence,
Dear
what's
Prudence.
The backstory on that?
Yeah, so, okay, Mia Farrow, she was a famous actress in the 60s, and her sister, Prudence Farrow, the reason why Mia ended up going to India was because of Prudence. She had been a Transcendental Meditation meditator for a few years already, and so she ended up in India taking the course, and her sister is the one that really got her to take that course because she spoke to Maharishi and said she wanted to study with him. Prudence had applied to the course many times but was not accepted because she was too young. But since Mia was coming, Maharishi allowed Prudence to come. Prudence had abused drugs and alcohol very severely during her teenage years, and she'd also spent some time in a psychiatric institution as a result of her drug abuse. And when she got to India, unfortunately, she had a severe psychotic episode there and had LSD flashbacks that were terrifying. It was a horrible experience for her. But Maharishi nursed her back to health within 3 weeks. Actually, just her going to his bungalow and meeting with him on a daily basis. And she became very responsive and very happy at the end. But during the time she was meditating, she would go into her room and wouldn't refuse to come out, refuse to eat, refuse to drink, and so she's sitting in a room for days and days upon end, and Maharishi was concerned, and everyone else was concerned about her. So Maharishi asked John and George to just look in on her, and they burst into her room one day, and they were singing Sgt. Pepper, and they were singing Obla Di Obla Da to her. But she just wanted them to disappear so she could go back into meditation.
Right.
And she did not recall them singing Dear Prudence to her, by the way. But then at the end of the time, right before John and George left India, George told Prudence that John had written a song for her called Dear Prudence. And she was concerned, you know, she was afraid maybe they would make fun of her or something. But actually, when she heard the song on the White Album, she was very pleased because it was a very positive song and very sweet.
What? Well, there's lots of hidden meanings throughout the White Album. We know that almost instinctively, but very quickly. We've got about 4.5 minutes left here, Susan.
Yes.
Let's talk about Blackbird, the hidden meaning there.
Okay, well, this is a quick one. So Blackbird, when that was originally recorded, Paul said he was inspired to write that because he heard a loud crowing of a crow early in the morning in Rishikesh. But then later, years later, he ascribed deeper meaning to it. I don't know why, but he did. And he said that it was the civil rights movement. It was a black, you know, African-American, in other words, bird, female, black bird. Mm-hmm. And it was about the civil rights movement. And, you know, I mean, if you take it in that, if you actually think of it that way, yeah, it becomes a very meaningful kind of song.
Exactly. Revolution.
You know, revolution, people don't really understand what that's about. They just think it's about being a war protester. But it's much more than that, because Maharishi taught all of us that if a small percentage of the population would meditate, we could transform the world from a world in great strife and war into a world of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And this is called the Maharishi effect. The idea, his idea was, and he said this many times, he said, in order for the forest to be green, every tree must be green. In order for the world to be at peace, every person must be at peace. And so he believed that if even a small percentage of the population would practice meditation, we would have world peace. And in fact, he proved that through scientific research. He would send hundreds of people to war-torn areas or to crime-ridden areas, and he'd have them meditate in large groups together. And then statistically, they were able to verify that the crime rate went down or the war would subside or at least, you know, have a vacation from the war. And so
right.
He was able to actually prove this. And it was a very interesting theory, and it proved to be true.
Exactly. George Harrison's My Sweet Lord.
Now, that song is very interesting because it has some lyrics in it that were from the puja ceremony, or the ceremony that was done by every TM teacher when they taught people how to meditate. It had these words, Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Deva Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat Param Brahma, Tasmai Shri, Guru Vainamaha. And what that means, what that translates is, the Guru is Brahma, Vishnu, and the great Lord Shiva. The Guru is the eternal Brahman, the transcendental absolute. I bow to the supreme Guru adorned with glory. And this is, every time a person learns transcendental meditation, there's like an altar, and they make offerings, and they do this invocation, and they sing, they chant this. So this is part of the song that that George Harrison wrote, My Sweet Lord. He also included lyrics, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, because he, at that time, was involved with Bhaktivedanta, who was the founder of ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and that was the chant that they used to do.
Yeah, without a doubt. Dr. Susan Shumsky has been with us, intuition and meditation expert, award-winning author, founder of Divine Revelation. Susan, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate the insight.
My pleasure. And my website is drsusan.org. That's drsusan.org. And I have another website, divinetravels.com. That divinetravels, that's plural, .com.